Our gospel reading this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. And before we listen, I want to give you a little background on it. So what we're going to hear today are the Pharisees warning Jesus that Herod is after him. Herod was one of the rulers in the area who would have felt pretty threatened by Jesus. And he has a plot to kill Jesus. So we're going to hear about how Jesus is warned, and then how Jesus has a very loving response. So let's listen to God's story from Luke. At that time, some Pharisees approached Jesus and said, "Go, get out of here. Herod wants to kill you." And Jesus said back to them, "You go tell that fox, Herod, that I'm throwing out demons and I'm healing people today and tomorrow. And on the third day, I will complete my work. But it's necessary for me to travel today and tomorrow and the next day because it's impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those that are sent to it. How often I have wanted to gather you just as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you didn't want that. Look, your house is abandoned. I tell you, you won't see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This morning's text from Luke, I want to begin exploring by telling you a little bit about Tucson, Arizona. We lived there before we came to Georgia, and I've shared about this with some of you, that while we were there, Kendra and I lived in an intentional community with 8 other people. We shared meals together 5 nights out of the week. It was a wonderful thing, but it became very tricky because everyone in that house seemed to have a different diet. Some people couldn't eat gluten. Some couldn't do dairy. Others were vegetarian, and some had no issues whatsoever. And we found, because of this, that there was really just one item that everyone in the house was happy to eat often and as the centerpiece to a meal: eggs. Now, because we had decided to source our groceries in ethical ways, we had determined that we would buy free-range eggs. And I will tell you, if there are 10 people in one house who eat that many eggs every week and decide to only eat free-range eggs, then they will rack up a very large grocery bill from just that one item alone. And so I started to think, how could we spend a little less on eggs? Surely there was a better solution. And about a month later, that solution fell right into our laps: a gift of 14 hens. Since accepting the hens and building the coop was really my idea, and I was the most eager to undertake the project, I became our resident chicken farmer. I loved spending time outside watching the chickens. I would take a chair and set it up next to the coop, and I would enjoy the sun as I watched the events of the flock unfold. I found that chickens have really great instincts. They know what to eat, and they know what not to. You can just throw your compost into the coop, and they'll scratch right through it, picking out what they want and leaving behind what they don't. I'd set up buckets for the hens to lay eggs in. I took 3 of those orange Home Depot 5-gallon buckets, filled them halfway with dirt, topped them off with a nice bed of straw, and left them there. The next day, we had eggs. It was as if the hens could read my mind. I loved my hens, but they also worried me. They scratched and scratched around the coop. They would dig into the corners, doing their best to either work their way out or, more likely, to give their predators an easier way in. I did my best to keep up with those holes, filling them when they got too deep, and lining the run with large rocks to make getting at those corners more difficult. But whenever you have a hen, predators are inevitable. Foxes are a sly, sly creature, notoriously sly. They can find a way into a run or a coop that you never would have thought of yourself. But they don't stick around. Foxes snatch a chicken and carry it away from the coop. They're meticulous in how they go about this. They rarely leave any clues behind. And then they return, lurking at the edge of the coop, licking their lips, knowing that there really is little you can do. There is this sense of arrogance about the fox. The weasel can infiltrate the chicken coop through the smallest opening, and the weasel is a vicious predator. The weasel kills indiscriminately and for sport. This predator is indifferent to suffering and to life itself. Indifference, waiting for just the smallest opening to squeeze itself through. Dogs are less likely to prey on chickens, but when they do, they simply tear the fence down and break into the coop. They maul the birds. They rarely eat them. To chickens, a dog is just a rogue predator of destruction. But predators don't just come under the fence or through these small openings or by knocking it down. Predators come from above. The hawk that circles the coop is rarely fazed by the presence of another animal or person. I've heard many chicken owners recount tales of watching hawks cleanly snatch a hen even while their owner stood in the yard. There is no humility in a hawk. There's no sneaking around. They are the pride that circles above us, watching carefully for a vulnerable moment to swoop down and take hold. The chicks in the coop, unlike their mother hen, are typically oblivious to the predators. The chicks become so familiar with the shavings under their feet and with scratching around in their favorite corner that they feel safe. They are unencumbered. They do not have to crane their necks up to the sky to watch for a hawk overhead. The chicks do not pay attention to the fence to see if a badger might be tunneling underneath or to that small opening where the weasel is working its way through, where a nail has come loose and left the fence peeled back just a little bit. The chicks do not see the fox on the other side of the run. They're much too busy pecking at the ground. I dare say that we are like these chicks. So often we find ourselves caught by that which is too familiar. And when we mistake this familiarity, we mistake it for safety. We become enamored at what we have accomplished, we become enamored at what we have created, and pride circles down like the hawk. Or maybe our familiarity leads us to an indifference, leads us to thinking that it is just fine to leave the hole in the fence untended for one more day. But then apathy grows, coming in and out and in again through that untended hole, just like the weasel, turning us away from matters of justice toward admiration of our own power. Or perhaps we peck around the coop as the dogs barrel towards the fence to knock it down. Perhaps destruction looms as we quickly eat the grains that have been tossed to us, because when it's all routine and familiar, there is no reason to look beyond what's immediately in front of us. Or maybe we scratch around, unaware of the arrogance that sits at the gate, waiting like the fox for us to let down our guard for just a moment so that it might sneak in and take us, that it might take us to a place where we believe that we can do no wrong, a place where our power must be held on to at all costs, or a place where we can demand that the prophets be killed, a place like the arrogance of Herod. The Herod of the Luke story is Herod Antipas, the son of Herod the Great. This family of rulers were collaborators with Rome. Their dynasty survived only because it was propped up by the empire. It's likely Jesus viewed these rulers as having no claim to the throne of David. And his frequent proclamation of the coming kingdom of God that we read in Luke probably made Herod and his supporters very uncomfortable. Their discomfort and their view of Jesus as a rival probably meant that, yes, they did have a plan to rid themselves of him, just as the text suggests. But Jesus dismisses these threats. We read his reply, "Go tell that fox, look, I'm throwing out demons, and I'm healing people today and tomorrow, and on that third day, I will complete my work." The fox is not a danger to Jesus. Herod might be clever and sly, but such a predator is powerless in preventing Jesus from carrying out his work of establishing God's rule on earth. Even against threats of violence and threats of death, Jesus continues to heal. And when the rulers think they will have gotten the best of him on that third day, we know the story. He will complete his work. The resurrection will firmly establish God's rule. If only it were so easy for us to dismiss the Herods, the foxes, the predators in our own lives, the dangerous things that hold us back from proclaiming and living into God's rule. All these things are powerless to prevent Jesus from accomplishing his work, but we know this is not our reality. The predators of our lives are powerful in preventing us from accomplishing the work we are called to. There is real danger in our world. And there are those things which call us away from our true selves and our true community. Greed, arrogance, indifference, the temptation of power, just to name a few. The presence of the mother hen does not mean that predators go away. But it means that she is there in the mess of it all with her children, and that she raises them to an awareness of these dangers. Because when the familiarity of the coop keeps the chicks from noticing the predators that are at the gate staring down upon them, it is the brush of the mother hen's feathers over their heads as she gathers them in with her wings that is what alerts them that danger is near. When the chicks hear that mother hen's special cluck, they know not to look around and gaze at the predator, but rather to rush into her protective care. The chicks only have a sense of danger because they deeply know their mother's protection. Their awareness of a predator only comes out of confidence in the mother hen's watchful eye. I think this holds for us. God, the mother hen, is with us in the mess, is with us where danger lurks about. And so if we are aware of any danger, if we perceive the effects of this danger, if we perceive that the world is broken, if we have any inclination that we are in dire need of grace, it is only because God's love already and always surrounds us in the very mess of our lives. The next couple lines of the Wendell Berry poem that we heard read earlier in the service read as follows. It's causing me to smile now, looking back, to see how paltry was my worst compared to your forgiveness of it, already given. Perhaps this is how we should read Jesus' words to Jerusalem. How often I have wanted to gather your people as the hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you didn't want that. Jerusalem, that city that kills the prophets because its leaders deal in death. Jerusalem, before and even now, God wishes for you to find refuge under the mother hen's wings. God continues to call because God sees us all as the chicks we are, lost, too afraid, or maybe too stubborn to find shelter under the mother hen's wings when danger threatens. But God continues to call. Our mother hen continues to cluck. Our mother hen continues to call us away from the predators because the blessed are not those who come in the name of power and strength. They are not the foxes. They are not the hawks. They are not the weasel. They are not the dog. The blessed are those who duck under the mother hen's wings, into her gentle warmth and abiding protection. The blessed are those who come in the name of humility, knowing that when God gathers them in, God gathers them in with the manure-filled shavings around them. I think this is what happens. That when we leave ourselves to be gathered to God along with all our manure, it's then that we become intimately aware of the dangers around us. We become intimately aware of the predators because we feel the warmth of grace. Or perhaps we simply continue to wander around the all too familiar surroundings of the chicken coop, blissfully unaware of the apathy, the indifference, the greed, the pride, the arrogance, the racism, the sexism, the injustice, the brokenness, anything else that you might name, that all lurk there, ready to take us the moment our guard is down, or maybe by simply breaking in. And perhaps these things already have. But that does not mean that the mother hen has stopped calling us to a way of grace. That does not mean that the mother hen has stopped chasing us around the coop. Because the mother hen will not rest until all of her chicks are safely under her wings, free of the predators that lurk. Amen.